Think about these words. We are not what we were, right? And we're not yet who we will be. So I want to look at this truth through the lens of identity. I want to call another title for this message other than "Such Were Some of Us" is call it an identity level cleansing. Because how we see ourselves, how we see God, how we see us in that relationship, how we see ourselves in this world affects a lot of what we think and do. Is that fair? So the deepest level, I would say, of identity cleansing that we need in these dark days in reference to our identity is are we either a sexual being or a spiritual being? Because there's so much push to make us think of ourselves in a sexual context. And I want to push back, and I want us to think of ourselves in a spiritual context. Is that fair? If you start to get nervous, then join me. Some of this is just stuff I don't like to talk about. So God created us male and female, yes? Right. Nothing else? God created us male and female. I know there's just this tremendous push, especially on social media and especially to young people, to say that there's a spectrum or there's multiples or there's just male and female. No matter what anybody says. Because what God says what goes, right? So I'm going to say it this way, parenthetically, every other view of gender than male and female falls under the category of a mental illness. And I'm not saying that to be mean, it's just the truth. Within God's creation model, he gave us a powerful appetite for one another that was only to be expressed in the context of marriage. The church has really moved away from this. And again, I just want to push back. I would like to be able to stand in front of you and say, I did it all right from day one. I didn't. So I'm such were some of me. Such were some of you. Such were some of us, okay? So once that appetite is expressed outside of marriage, there is a degradation of true human identity. The breakdown accelerates in a downward spiral through multiple partners, prostitution, pornography, homosexuality, molestation, incest, and in my opinion, the lowest form of depravity, bestiality. So again, sorry for being so graphic, but I just really felt like the Lord wants us to be fully his. And if our minds are distracted onto past sins or past failures or past violations or past anything, we can't fully give ourselves to him. And if you're married, you can't fully give yourself to your spouse because there's this stuff running in the background. All right. So I think my heart this year, if you've noticed a trend in the messages that I've been bringing, it's to move us toward a visitation of the Lord in a way that's sustainable. That God's come in revival in many contexts throughout the history of the church, and most of them end in real disaster. So we've got to get ready now, right? Thanks. I think we must move into a pure identity in Christ to fully reclaim his image, which is our true identity. God made us in his image, and restoration, reclamation, salvation, whatever you want to call it, is us going back into that image. Okay? So again, we must understand who we were, who we are, and who we're becoming. The image of God is presented to us in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And I know we've been hanging out here a lot lately, but I'm going to read it again. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Created he him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So this image doesn't have to do with our looks. This image is found in our character and our inherent nature. Our inherent nature meaning from God, okay? So part of understanding what we need to process and think about and move away from and move toward, we need to move away from the serpent. Is that fair? The serpent's agenda is to destroy the image of God in us. And is it fair to say he's had a good measure of success? Yeah. So here's what I like to propose to you. I would like to see in us, I would say, an almost violent faith that throws him out of our lives, our families, and the faith community once and for all. Because it's complete nonsense that the church is so fractured. You know, there's all those jokes, the joke I told you about the guy he's on a world cruise and the cruise ship goes down and he's marooned on an island by himself, he's the only survivor. And he's there for a while and he sees a ship passing, he builds a fire and they send a boat to come and pick him up. And the people that are there to pick him up and they say, well, gather up the rest of the survivors and, you know, come along. And he goes, I'm the only survivor. And he says, but there's three huts. And he goes, that hut is my home, that hut is the church I go to, and that hut is the church I used to go to. So, but it's funny because it's true, right? I mean, this is the stuff we get. Well, you don't think Jesus is coming back, or you think Jesus is coming back this or coming back then, or what? It's like we get so mixed up. He's coming back. Yes, I don't know when. I don't have all the details. I have thoughts about it. You have thoughts about it. We often, we don't all agree. I have good friends that are amillennialists, not so many good friends that are postmillennialists. I'm a premillennialist. I believe in a premillennial return of Jesus and a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. But it's not going to be the end of my day if that doesn't happen the way I think it's going to happen, because I'll be with him and it won't matter. Does this make sense? I'm not trying to be casual about doctrine. I have very strong feelings about it, but I want to, okay, so let me get back to, we need to reclaim the image of God, yes? And it's found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And we want to be able to say with Paul, if you've seen me, you've seen the Son. I'm just going to raise my hand. I don't know if anybody else will. I'm just going to raise my hand and say, I'm not there yet. I'm in process. Sometimes I delay the process. I know you guys are super sanctified and you're feeling sorry for me right now. Oh, thank you, guys. So I want to say something about the image of God that was lost. And rather than look at the fall of mankind in Genesis 3, I want to look at Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, and look at kind of the outcome that's presented here. The heart is deceitful above all things. Did he say all? Let me read it again to make sure. The heart is deceitful above all things. That means that the devil has got nothing on me. Okay? And desperately wicked, who can know it? Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. How many of you are glad for grace that the blood of Jesus washes away the bad doings? Yes. How many of you ever prayed for a crop failure when you do the wrong thing? You know, it says you reap what you sow, and you start sowing the wrong stuff, and you're like, oh, God, just kill those seeds. Kind of like praying before you eat. I tell you what, if you're going to go with me overseas to some of the places I go, and you, praying for your food takes on a new meaning when stuff's crawling around in there. So the devil is a problem, but my old nature is a bigger one. Satan is defeated. Right? He's defeated for us in Christ. But what about my own fallen and fractured heart? What about it? Yeah. If I walk in my carnal nature, My heart is the most deceitful thing in existence, according to this scripture. This is a part of ourself that we all have to face, okay? It's so deceitful and wicked, and I've tested this and proven it true, so just so you know. It is so deceitful and wicked, I can't even know who I am because of the deceitfulness of my own heart will paint a false picture of self that will justify anything it wants. I've found this to be true of me. If I'm not walking with Christ, if I'm walking in that fallen nature, and I think we all need to face that. I know I've shared with you before, I'll just say it real quickly. When we lost our grandson, there was a part of my nature that I had never touched was just complete anger toward God. There was part of me, the trained part, the disciplined part, the biblical part that said, no, that's wrong, but it was there. And I had to face it. And it wasn't pretty. It was a knockdown, drag out. The one thing about my old nature is when I take it to the cross, it fights me. Jesus said, daily pick up your cross and follow me. What did he mean? It wasn't talking about a holiday. If you found somebody walking out of Jerusalem with a cross in his day, they weren't coming back. So there's those parts of us that we don't want to return. Yeah? If we entertain our carnal nature, we'll immediately fall into a labyrinth of deception. Look at what's happening in this country today. With rejecting Christ. You saw what happened with Pastor Jack Hibbs praying the invocation at Congress. Half the room is, well, maybe more than half is demonized. I mean, they started manifesting. And now they're attacking him, and they've got the media attacking him. Do you guys know the media doesn't always tell the truth? You guys remember that vision I shared with you back in 2015 about the carrier waves going through the air? And demons riding on the carrier waves, and I'm watching this vision. I'm just like, okay, I know those are carrier waves, and I know those are demons. I said, Lord, what are you showing me? And he said, people are becoming demonized by watching the media because of all the lies. So I'll just put that out there for you again. If you want to find out what's going on today, read the Bible. Because we're living in biblical times, yes? I don't want you to lose hope because I'm done with the hard part now. I don't want you to lose hope because there is hope, yes? There's a way out. The image of God restored. So 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So Jesus has reconciled us to the Father, and he's wanting us to reconcile others to him who he can in turn take to the Father. Yes? That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. That's amazing. Even before we were saved, when he looked at us who he was calling us to be, not who we were. He wasn't imputing that trespass against us, he was calling us to himself. If we reject him, then we're saying, I want that, which is kind of nuts if you think about it for 5 seconds. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Yes, yes, yes. Now this, if this wasn't in the Bible, I would never have the confidence to say it or believe it. But hear this. For he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us. He took on our sins, yes? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Yeah, that's not like kind of righteous, that's like it. All right? So let me say it to you this way. Beloved, now are we citizens of heaven. We're not only in the kingdom of God, that kingdom is in us. We are here as ambassadors to represent our King and his kingdom with the knowledge that we serve at his pleasure. Isn't that cool? The same righteousness that Jesus walked in when he was here has been credited to our account. So when we stand before God, we're going to stand before God with his righteousness credited to our account. So don't walk around with the woe is me thing. It's not helping. But our challenge is to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And I've had people tell me, I always walk in the Spirit, I never walk in the flesh. And I want to say, there's a commandment that says, thou shalt not lie. Just saying. So let's get to the scripture that I promised you we would get to. Such were some of us scripture. It says such were some of you, but I'm saying us because here we are, right? 1 Corinthians 6, 6 through 11 and 15 through 19. I'm not going to read the food part because we get that. I'm going to give you some of the Greek words next to the English words so you can get a picture of that Paul is painting here. So do you not know that that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So I just said to you that he's imputed to us or credited to us the righteousness of Jesus onto our account. But that's not so that we can go on and just mess up and go, well, by grace I'm saved. I'm just, not going to worry about it. No, he's cleansed us so we can walk in newness of life. Okay? Here it is. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Isn't that a great word? The Greek word is pornos. I wonder what word that connects with. It'll come to me. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Let me try that again. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And I'm saying, I'm not Paul. I wasn't raised a Pharisee, circumcised in the 8 days, zealous for God all my life too. That wasn't me. So I'm saying such were some of us, okay? But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? And the Greek word there is porne. You may be picking up a pattern. Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. And I want to say something here because it's easy to read past this and miss this. He's saying that when you engage in immoral activity, no matter whether it's a harlot or a girlfriend or whatever outside of marriage, that you're engaging in something that's going to cause you to have a deeper connection, a union, a communion that's physical and spiritual. And the corruption that's in the other person will become yours. And it's a spiritual corruption. We could call it a spiritual STD. I know this is completely unpopular today, and I'm not going to stand up here and say I did it right my whole life because I don't want to break the lining, And I'm not subtly boasting. I'm just saying I didn't know any better. I was trained into it. I've shared this story with you before. My dad, God rest his soul, I love him, but he was different. When I was in my mid-teens, instead of giving me the talk, he took me to an X-rated movie. And then he tried to take me to a prostitute. And I threw a fit. I go, no way, that's not happening like this. And he goes, you're never going to be a man. You're just going to, he just lit me up. And I tell you what, that damaged me so much. I was afraid to ask girls out. I was afraid to do anything because I'm not really a man. And somehow they're going to find out. And it just, That was my teen years. You know, if you see a picture of me as a teenager, I could be wearing a down coat on a 100-degree day because I didn't want to be seen. It's all that stuff. We all come from some stuff, okay? And but God set me free, and that's what I think he's wanting to do here this morning. I'm just going to say it boldly. He wants us totally his. He wants us to be free from that stuff that happened. He doesn't want us carrying it anymore, okay? So this is the same church that Paul wrote, "Your new creations in Christ Jesus." He wrote that I just read to you, and I kind of interjected a lot, so you might have forgot what I even read. But again, if we're going to move forward as believers, we must be fully cleansed of our past sins and continue forward into a deeper consecration in Christ, and not just the sins that we committed, but maybe sins that were done to us. When a child is molested, that child spiritually takes on the corruption of the molester. And it starts to work into their thinking, and they'll ultimately end up blaming themselves. That is so wrong. Somebody help me and say amen. But that can be cleansed, and it needs to be cleansed. So again, if we're cycling in and out of past sins, either by practice or by memorializing them and playing them in our heads, we will live in a quasi-miserable state. And God has joy for us. God has peace for us. All right? Okay, so, and such were some of us, but not anymore. Somebody help me and say amen. So Paul's words are profound when he says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Do you not know that he is joined to a harlot as one body with her? For the two," he says, "shall become one flesh." So I already talked to you about the purpose of intimacy. It's in marriage. Probably most of us have not done it right. But we have an opportunity. Once you've been washed in the blood, it's as if it never happened. That's what needs to take place. There's a spiritual identity that occurs that is, like I said, can be so damaging. And you can replace that word again, harlot, with just about anything, boyfriend, girlfriend, casual stranger, person at the bar, whatever. But what's happening right now is that image of God that is meant to say a husband and a wife come together and the two are one is being so distorted by our culture and by these, I'm sorry, but they're just nut jobs. They're out there saying, you know, fly this multicolored flag and believe all this stuff. No. You can believe whatever you want, whatever you're confident to take before Jesus on the day of judgment, God bless you. I'm not going there with that mess. I'm just not. And you can say, "Well, I'm going to arrest you if you don't." They're doing that now. They're saying, "If you don't say this, if you don't say it's okay, we're going to arrest you." Okay, I'll preach to the people in jail. I'm not saying it to be slight because that's what's happening in our, you know, the United Soviet States of America now. I thought I was going to make it. I'm almost to the end here. But the same level, this is the part I want you to hear. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Okay? So this passage reveals an intimacy with the Lord that's like a marriage because we are the bride of Christ. Amen? Are some of those statements making sense? We say, we're the bride of Christ. What does that mean? It means he wants to be completely intimate with us. It's time for us to stop dating Jesus on Sunday morning and be with him every day. Okay? We are one with him in the Spirit, yes? As we become more and more intimate with him, we bear more and more of his image. Paul goes on, like I read earlier, but I'm going to read it to you again. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen? So I'm just going to close with the promise that is the scriptures leading up to the ones that says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's found in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. It will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green. It will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. So there's a fruitfulness when we're plugged deeply into the flow of the Spirit of God, that no matter what's going on in the world around us, we're going to be like a tree with green leaves and fruitful. So having turned to the Lord Jesus with our whole heart, another scripture from Paul, 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Isn't that good? You know, a lot of times we hear this, well, you're born again, your spirit's clean, and nothing can corrupt it. That's not what Paul believed. I'm going to go with him. All right? So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, if you would. I'm not going to ask for anybody to raise their hand or to come forward because it's too personal. If there's stuff in your heart about your identity and it could show up in a funny way like, I wonder how that person's looking at me. It can just show up in the worst way. That's back to St. Patrick's prayer. Let them see Christ in me. Amen. So, Lord, we come before you as broken people in need of healing. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over every heart, over every mind, over every body, and over every spirit here for full cleansing so we can be fully yours. So while your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, still not going to ask for any outward sign, I'm just going to say it this way. God wants us to be able to fully give ourselves to our spouse without the reference of past relationships. And I'm kind of ashamed to say I didn't even know about this until I'd been married 8 years. And the Lord healed me. I was at a meeting and the guy brought this up and the Lord healed me. And if there's someone here that needs healing for this, I'm not meaning to be embarrassing or anything, but if you're with your spouse and you're thinking about or seeing someone else, I want you to be healed of that and delivered in Jesus' name. All right? And I don't think it's that uncommon. So, Lord, we ask you for a deeper level cleansing that cleanses our identity, that we're wholly yours, that we can be completely yours in Christ, that we're not looking at ourselves, we're not looking at others, where we can see a member of the opposite sex as an eternal other and not as something to be objectified. Help us, Lord, because everything in our society and our culture and our training tells us to do it wrong. Lord, thank you for healing me and cleansing me. You've been so good to me when my life was such a mess. Lord, I ask for anyone here who's had any of those struggles to be completely released and set free in Jesus' name. As we partake of communion together this morning, we'll be able to say, Lord, I take all of you. Please take all of me. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to see revival. We want to see a move of God. We want to see a harvest. But we want the new believers to come into a safe place in the Spirit. Lord, we've all been corrupted. We're all standing here, sitting, whatever we're doing, in need of a fuller, deeper cleansing. And I'm asking you for that for all of us in Jesus' name. There's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no condemnation, there's no projection of anything like that on anyone here. We're all in the same boat. No matter whether it was this morning or 10 years ago or 40 years ago, we need you. So, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name for that deeper cleansing. Amen.